Hey, how's it going, Rob?
Good, good, good. How are you?
Good. Sorry about that.
No problem. I adjust easily. Give me a
Yeah,
chance to get some lunch.
we had a client that we just got last year, and the wife is retiring. She decided to retire early now because of this whole coronavirus thing. So she's wanted to talk about next steps, and we just had to go over a couple of things with her.
That's interesting. I think that you may get more of that. My buddy, who I don't want to retire, is a doc on the island, and he's just worried he's going to get sick with the coronavirus. And nobody, he's 74, and is it worth it to work a couple more years and risk getting sick, or do you just retire and let younger people take over? So I think you'll get more of that. It's just like, why bother returning to the workforce if we're going to be the ones getting smashed by this thing, and everybody else gets over it, and the older people die. So
Yeah.
it just ends up, I think, forcing people to make lifetime decisions that they don't really haven't been put in a position to have to make, previously.
Yeah,
So.
no, and that's exactly right. I mean, that's what happened with her. I mean, she was going to teach. I mean, she had a pretty cushy job, as a teaching in Long Island, and but she had to do video conferencing with her kids all day long, and she said it was becoming really hard and very stressful, and she's just like, it's not worth it anymore to do this.
And then going back, the probabilities with the kids are that you're gonna get it. If you're in a classroom with even with 10 kids,
Yeah.
how do you teach 10 kids without interacting with them close enough to get sick, right?
Yes.
So until they have a vaccine, and she's probably what, 65 or 60 or something, and
She's 60. Yeah, she's 60, 65, 66. Yep,
yeah, so
exactly.
it's just like, hey, love the work, but not the way they made us do it, not this way. He's the same thing. He doesn't want to do teledocking, He doesn't want to do the video consultations. He finds it annoying. He likes to see his patients. And
Yeah.
so how many of those will be out there like these guys? Interestingly enough, I think it may change so then you say, okay, so what does that look like then?
Yep.
If all these people retire during this period, what does that do to change the workforce dynamics? And now they'll all be retired, so they'll all be doing things that retired people do, and we'll get a kind of a bubble of newly retired people. Well, they're not going to be jumping on planes and going to Africa and doing safaris. So what will they be doing?
It's
Interesting, right? Yeah.
an opportunity for excuse me, for advisors. I mean, could be a big flux of rollovers coming in.
I would suggest that that's correct. And they're not going to be spending money, which is what they usually do in the first few years of retirement. They usually spend a lot of money, travel and do all the things that they've always wanted to do. Everybody thinks you retire and you retire at two-thirds of what it cost you before. Well, not for the first 10 years. People spend a lot of money in first 10 years of retirement.
Yep.
Well, they're the number one thing they spend money on is travel. Well, that's not going to happen. So what would they? Maybe they fix up their houses, right? Right?
Yeah, well,
Maybe.
that's happening all over. I mean, everybody's going to Lowe's painting and Home Depot and building and constructing, and it's what's happening on a regular basis for sure.
That would be, I'd love you to interview her and tell me what she is going to do with her retirement. What she's going to do, you know, is she going to fix up the house? Is she going to, what's she going to spend money on? You know, it's an interesting question because I think it would give us a view into a little bit of a bubble of investment opportunity. But you're absolutely right. There's going to be a lot more rollovers than there's a lot more opportunity for you guys. So I would ask her for introductions.
Yeah, it's a great point. That's a really great point.
Yeah, I think you got yourself a little bubble of opportunity. And that would be across any retirees. If you've got a, you know, your average client probably is 65 years old, mm-hmm. because mine was in 1972, and the average age for Merrill Lynch when I retired was 65. And did I say 72? It's actually 65. And then it's always 65. So the question is, if all these people are retiring and they were putting it off because they felt good and life was good and they liked the momentum they had, they don't want to get sick. This may take longer than we think. So let's retire. What are we going to do? Yep. So big opportunity for you, but maybe they buy an RV, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Right? Maybe they buy an RV and travel. Maybe they buy that boat and go to the shore. They go to the shore and they already have a house and they buy a boat that they didn't have. Maybe they buy a boat and travel on it. So I always am looking for investment themes and, you know, what demographics do to those investment themes. So,
yep.
Anyway, so it's, things are good then for you. You sound good.
Yeah, it's good. I'm actually back in my office today.
Great.
For yesterday was day one, today's day two. And, I'm actually headed on vacation the end of the week for a week. And, yeah, but I mean, I changed my team. I was on a team with a couple guys here in my office for, 8 years, 9 years. And, that team, was not very well organized and very much differences of opinion on how things could be run. So I left that team in, what would have been January of 2019. And, my production dropped off by $30,000. And, 1 year later, I'm recovered and I'm actually now $30,000. I'm basically back to where I was before I left. And I joined the team up in Greenwich, Connecticut. And so everything, the transition went really, really well. Just took a little while to get up on plane. So it's actually, I'm having a great start to my year. I mean, I'm $20,000 ahead of where I was last year at this time. So yeah, it's good to get back into my office. It's good to just kind of get retooled and refocused and, you know, back at it. So I'm glad.
Is your team, is Jennifer there or?
She's in my office here. Yes.
Okay, good. So that's working out. And are you using your folders again?
So we're, I have my folders. I haven't done it. I when I get back from my vacation, that's when everything is going to kick into full gear. So.
Okay.
But what I have been doing is, as I've done my reviews, is I make notes on the clients in an email, which is a follow-up to the client. And when I do that follow-up email to the client, then I have the email attached to my client account.
Great. Okay.
And that's worked really well. Yep.
So you're going to keep doing that, right?
Yep. That's
a good productivity tool. And yeah, and it's the client likes it. And so that's good. The only reason I mentioned there are some great things about the folders, and I want you to get back to just having them, reviewing them. Things like the enthusiastically endorsed list in there, things like introductions given and received, the dates of those, using those dates to trigger phone calls, reminders, thank yous. Those can be productivity enhancers in terms of reminding people to give you more introductions. And then creating kind of mastermind groups out of the enthusiastically endorsed people, and how valuable that list is. So I just think that's something you want to keep on and it's hard. If you don't have the folder, you're not going to remember those things.
Yep.
You know, it's just a trigger. It's a great trigger to remind you, hey, okay, that's a great tool.
You're talking the client folder. The client folders that they actually have.
That they have and that you have.
Okay.
The one that you have will have the enthusiastically endorsed list that they have told you that they're working with, that they enthusiastically endorse. And that then bleeds into your master list of enthusiastically endorsed professionals. But okay. You also, in each of your folders, for the client, have a list of introductions given and received. So you want to make sure you use that and put the date that you get an introduction and then the date you open the account. And then you call both the giver of the introduction and the person that opened the account on the anniversary of when they do that, when they open the account, and thank them both. And by doing that, you spur them to remember that you like introductions and that you are open for business.
Yep.
Okay. So it kind of reminds them. So those are just good ideas. Plus, you can do it electronically or you can use the folder to do it. The 24-month calendar is something you want to remember to be using for topics for your monthly calls.
Yeah.
So what's your monthly call? What's your subject for this month?
Mortgage refinancing.
Okay. I would suggest you make that a little broader and go to liability management.
Okay.
That would apply to everybody because somebody says, well, I don't have a mortgage. I paid it off. End of conversation.
Yep.
So when you talk about liability management, it's a broader topic.
So when you do – When I do these calls, really, I guess one of the freedoms of having this call structure is that I don't necessarily need to give them their full account review each time we do the call.
That's right. That's not the purpose. The purpose is you can tell them, you know, they're always curious, how are we doing, right? So you always need to know. Overall, we're up, you know, we're down 2% versus the market's down 4%. Fine, good. That's just information you need to have. And you're doing great versus your plan. You know, you're well ahead of your plan as of now, and you could have that to make sure they're not focused on the S&P 500, but they are focused on their own personal index, right?
Yep.
So, but that's just you being prepared. But the topics for the month are whatever is in their agenda. So their agenda says this is the month that we need to start a 529. Okay, that came out of the 520, that came out of the financial plan. And so this conversation is going to be about the 529. But our monthly topic is on liability management.
Right. Okay.
You know, over the next 2 months, we're going to be talking about liability management. How do you manage the liability side of your balance sheet, which is just like any company, as important as the asset side of the balance sheet. You have the ability to borrow, and once you do that judiciously, that can be a big help to you. So that's where you take on that role of I'm your chief financial officer and you're the CEO. So I'm telling you, you have this ability if you need it to use a line of credit based on your securities of this much without any problem.
Right. Okay.
These are the rates. So you might think about a mortgage, but you also might think about doing a line of credit for 2 years and then paying it off, or doing a line of credit for 2 years and then doing a 15-year mortgage.
Well, that's what we got. I mean, that's the topic that's going on right now. I mean, Morgan Stanley just came up with a 7-year fixed note at 2.5%, which is huge.
So that's great. You know, I use that for my kids. I didn't use 7 years. I used, it was 5 years ago. So, it was 2017. This is 23 years ago. And they're coming due in 21, 22, and 23.
Yep.
And the average rate is around 3% on those. So, you know, I would be looking for a way to, you know, roll that over. And so that became their, quote, their mortgage, right? So I just did it. So I borrow the money from my securities and lend it to them basically at the same rate that I get. So I set up a contract with them, a mortgage contract, to pay me that amount every month, and then they use that as their mortgage deduction, 100%. They pay me some principal on top of that, plus, so it's interest. They know what the interest deduction is going to be. Then my CPA sends them a tax form that says, this is the amount that is deductible on your taxes. So, you know, I'm just the bank. Anybody can become a bank if they decide to.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, it's a good time to be doing that, you know, and trying to get creative with people and helping them do some financing. And so that's.
Right. And, your friends say, I'm retiring. I got some time. We're going to redo the kitchen. Okay. Why take the money out of Apple when we can just borrow it at, what did you say, 2.5%, right?
Yep.
So we take a $50,000 loan and redo the kitchen. Can you do a kitchen for 50 grand? I don't know, I guess.
Depends what you want.
I know. So that's the way I would run it. And if you spend the whole time talking about the children's 529, then you just put off the liability management until the next month, because I would run these for 2 months, each of the initiatives.
Okay.
And the reason I say 2 months is because in many cases you introduce it in 1 month, and you're going to need some follow-up time, and the next month you're still talking about it. Maybe it's maybe it's done, or maybe it's halfway done.
Yep.
Meantime, if you've got a different topic every month, then now you're talking about beneficiary analysis, right? And you can't do that all in one call. So you don't want to make yourself crazy.
Right.
So you know, maybe you talk about beneficiaries for 2 months. That's why I created the quote 24 month calendar with 8 new topics.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Just to not make yourself crazy. So you're only going to introduce not 12 or 24 topics, 8 topics. Some of them are, you know, you'll have your regular calendar driven topics, outlook for the year, tax selling, you know, required minimum distributions. Those are going to be permanent. And then you drop in the 8 new topics.
Yep.
As you go, and that we call that batch processing, so that you're talking all month about liability management. You don't have to make yourself crazy looking up interest rates and what they're doing and fluctuating, et cetera. Like, you're prepared with this 7-year, 2.5% rate note, securitized loan. You got it. You got it in your head, right? You know how it works. You're going to do 10 of them. Well, that's the way you do it. That's batch processing. Rather than doing one of those, one long-term care policy, one beneficiary analysis.
Yep.
Stupid, right? It just can't. You can't make. So you prepare the month ahead for whatever topic it is and get all your ducks in a row, do your education between you and Jennifer, all the paperwork, and know how everything works. And then when you start executing, you're not cold on that topic.
No, it's a really good, it's really good. So the batch processing, but then that can overlap also with the review calls though, right?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. But the review calls are longer too. Keep that in mind. You know, a review call typically will go 50 minutes versus a regular call might be 20 minutes.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So you determine the call time and then plug in the amount of initiatives that you're going to try and cover in that time.
Okay.
But keep in mind, reviews don't have to take a long time. Right? I mean, if you're prepared and you can, you know, if you're going to Zoom them, you can minimize yourself and put their review up on the screen. You can cover a review in 5 minutes. This is how the different managers have done.
Yep.
Unless you're going to make a change, you can do it in 5 minutes. You're going to make a change. You want to, you know, fire a manager, hire a different manager. Well, then you got to give them a little background on the manager you're firing and why, and why you're hiring the new guy. And that will take another 10 to 15 minutes, and maybe not, but give yourself time. So I think people spend way too much time on reviews.
Well, I probably am guilty of that, because that's where I'm trying to like show my value. You know, it's kind of been funny. Like this whole process that you're talking about has really kind of set me up for a different approach to how I want to handle things. You know, literally a better approach from a standpoint of just trying not to be monotonous with everything that I'm doing and creating some value. So when we talk, they actually are excited to talk. And I didn't.
Right. They don't want to hear about alpha and beta and this stuff and, you know, all our jargon and, you know, asset alloc. I mean, you got to educate your client on where you're creating value. Okay. This is why we did some rebalancing. So we have some cash now again.
Yeah.
We'll buy when things get cheap and oversold. And that's why we, you know, why we buy low and sell high. And that's the rebalancing helps us do that. Well, you know, other than that and hiring, firing managers, unless you're picking stocks, there's not a lot, you know, to talk about. So talk about them and what they need and their issues and whether they're set for, you know, people go through these different time frame. You know, we think of retirement and we package it all together and that's what you do in retirement. That's not even close. I mean, you have pre, you know, 80 retirement, and that's a very different thing than post 80 retirement.
Right.
Right. So, you know, there's, and then there's, you know, post 90 retirement, which you're going to have more of. So you got this pre 80 retirement, which is filled with active travel and sports and grandchildren and active spend, and a lot of fun, and it's wonderful golden years. But you're also going to get slammed with heart disease and cancer and all kinds of things that happen to old people. And right. then you hit 80, and you know, the ones that are in shape will do great till they're 85, but once you're at 85, that's when people go into long-term care facilities. One of the partners starts to get sick, mm-hmm. and they need help. And so the other one joins them in the retirement community, which isn't a bad thing, but you got to be prepared for it. And you as a consultant have to know that that's going to happen. Okay. That's just going to happen. It's just like death. It's going to happen. So you tell them ahead of time, this is what's going to happen. One of you is going to get ill and you're going to want to think about. So I want you to start thinking about whether you want to bring a full-time nurse in or you want to explore long-term care facilities.
Right.
Right. And that's conversations that nobody wants to have.
Right.
The kids don't want to have it. The adults don't want to have it. They want to live in their house forever. And that's a nightmare, right?
Yep.
So Larry Wilson used to say, your job is to help people grow up and make better choices. Hmm. Grow up has a lot to do with making good decisions as young an age as you can, knowing that you are a mortal human being.
Right.
That's really what the whole thing's about. So at 50, you should have done a lot of your estate planning, not at 65, at 50. Okay, set up all the trusts and wills and all that at 50. Then when you happen to need insurance, you already got it at a younger age. You didn't pay full price because you waited to do your estate planning. And then at 85, you've got the money saved for your retirement community. And you know where you want to go because your friends are going there and you've thought about it and you're open to it.
Yep.
You're not afraid. Fear is what drives people to make poor decisions. When they have the knowledge and the education from somebody like you, they make much better decisions. So educating people on the value of a retirement community is really important. Now, that may change with this stupid coronavirus, but you know, up until that, it made all the sense in the world. Now people are not going to want to go because they're like, I don't want to die.
Right.
I go to these old people home and I die. So, you know, that's going to set us back years in convincing people. And then, you know, then after that, then it's, you know, all the different levels of care. But, until you've been through it, you can't really help people with it, but you know, you'll eventually go through that and then you'll be of more value to older people, but you can plan on it. You can educate yourself. So, you think, wow, that's my job. Yes. That's your job. That's your new job. It isn't performance. It's being a life coach is really what you become. And a life coach needs a lot more empathy and understanding and education than a financial advisor. And through your clients, you live many lives, and that's your advantage, where they just live their one life. You know, they live the life they have, the life of their parents and the life of a few friends, but you live the life of hundreds of people through your career as they matriculate through life. And you can, if you care, you can be enormously valuable. And that's where your enthusiastically endorsed model comes in, where you have, a connection to somebody that stages their house for sale before they go into the retirement community. You have a person that consults on which community is the right one for them. You have good connections at all the retirement communities. So you welcome them and meet them there and help them to feel comfortable there with the executive director who you're good friends with.
Right.
Okay. And then you know the doctor that takes, you know, he's a specialist at that community in elder care and chronic illnesses. And then when they have specialty issues, you've got a list of specialists that you know are great working with the elderly. And all those people become clients, see, of yours, because you care. And they know you care. So they become your son, you know, as you guide them through this process. So don't think of it as distractions or hard work or some other person's job. There is no one. They're not their CPA, their attorney, they're anybody that cares and can make these decisions other than you. No one. Their children aren't equipped. Their children don't go through this all the time. The children go through it once.
Right.
All right? They go through it once. So you can be an expert and really bring value to them. And making a poor decision on where to go, when to go, how to go, can mess up a family. And you can be a big help in preventing that from happening. And people that have money deserve to have a guide. So this is why you charge what you charge, so that you can afford to spend time to help them.
Right.
Okay? So you get clients with $10 million that can pay you $100,000 to take care of them. And you guide them through, because just because they have 10 million doesn't mean they're any more prepared than anybody else. They're not. Okay. But they can afford to pay you. So that 100 grand makes you their life coach and helps you guide them through their whole life.
Yep.
Okay. But somebody with, you know, $1 million, you can't afford to do that. You know, you can be nice, and you can help them, and you can send them, and you can be good, but you've got too many if you've got $1 million clients. You got to have bigger clients that pay you enough that you can afford to give them extraordinary experience. And all the questions that you have now about those things are easily answered by asking the questions, can you enthusiastically endorse your retirement community? Can you enthusiastically endorse your doctor there? Can you enthusiastically endorse the person that helped you move? You know, can you enthusiastically endorse the person that staged your house? And the realtor that sold your house. So you just get a whole group of people that care and are really professionals at what they do. And you guide all these retirees through this process, because they're all going to go through the same thing. And you think, wow, why didn't I think of that? Because that's not what you know. I'm 74, so I'm, you know, I'm halfway through that, right? I know what those things feel like. It's a huge advantage, aging. Now, the problem is you can't stop aging.
You know? Good point.
So you enjoy every minute of it, at every stage that you go through, and value it all. But the advantage I have is I can look back and know how it feels at every stage. And money doesn't change how you feel. It makes you more confident, but it doesn't change the feelings. So, you know, I think you can build a great team around whatever it is you want to specialize in, but helping people like this sweet teacher who dedicated her life to teaching is a great thing. It's a great calling. It's a nice thing to do.
Well, I like it. I like what you're saying. And this is really, I appreciate the conversation. I mean, it just kind of puts some different perspective into this for me in a really good way. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I've felt passionate about this. You see it in my work, I hope, when you read my books. But, you know, the servant leadership thing is important. You know, putting yourself last. Sure, you got to pay yourself. The most successful people in the world are givers who pay themselves first, but then are true givers and give. And that's what you want to be. You got to take care of yourself. You can't do this for free. But when you give, you give with sincerity.
Yep.
And you take your ego out of it and treat people. I always say, you know, when I hired somebody as a financial advisor in my office, and this is what I told my managers, I said, when you hire them, treat them as if they are the child of your best friend.
That's interesting too.
Huh. Right? Think about the difference, right? Your best friend's son or daughter decides she's going to go and work for you. Are you really going to ignore her and, you know, throw them up against the wall and see if they stick? Hell no, you're not. You're going to treat them like your own. You're going to be better than with your own.
I like it. You're full of knowledge, Rob. You're full of knowledge. So it's...
Well, one of the big problems is, this is what I said to my friend who's thinking about retiring. I said, as soon as you know what you're doing, you retire. Think about it, right? Spend your whole career trying to figure out your job. Huh. And as soon as you got it figured out and you know something of real value, you retire. And go off and do nothing. It's such a waste.
It's crazy. You know what's crazy for me in all this, and I will admit I'm not halfway through everything that I want to be through into this program. But the biggest piece of all this is it's creating for me a bigger picture mindset of how I'm going to shift my business and do better and with it, because I have, you know, I've been doing this for 23 years, and admittedly there are, I have a system that's easy for me, but it is inefficient. I mean, my clients have all stayed with me for my average client comes and stays for 15 years, 16 years. I mean, I keep people and they're happy and they, you know, so we have good relationships, but the inefficiencies that I've created around my work are, there's a lot of them. And, you know, I surround myself with good people. I mean, the team that I'm on is great and they have great investment models and a great investment process. But, you know, this whole thing that we're talking about with Supernova and just this, the topics and the, you know, the call cycles, it's putting a bigger perspective to this that I really am glad to be looking at.
I think you will feel more of a calling and more of a mission, more of a purpose, more real value at the end of your career of how many people you really helped in those moments where the family, you know, really thanked you for taking care of their mom and dad, you know. So it, it's great. And, you know, what we do versus what we could do, amazing, you know, the difference, the spread. But, you know, you got to get paid. Everybody builds their practice around what makes it easier for them, not what makes it better for the client. And we do the opposite. We build our practice around what's best for the client and what's hard for us.
Yep.
And then guess what? We create something of real value to the client. It's a big difference. Huge difference. And when you're trying to explain to somebody why they should do business with you versus somebody else, you just tell them that.
Yep. So
we build our practice around you and what's important to you and what creates value for you and not what is the easiest thing for us to do.
Right.
Right. Which is what everybody else does.
Right.
That when I had a guy call me today. And he said, somebody gave me your, you know, such and such gave me your name as a, you know, and said, you know, that you know them. So it was a testimonial. They were looking for a testimonial about the FA.
Right.
And I said, here's what they do versus what the average, you've been, he was 74. He's a cardiologist. He found, this is an interesting case. He found the person's name, from the, Barron's list. And he'd been in the community his whole life, but, he called that person. He wants a relationship. He doesn't just want an FA. And that person said, call Rob Knapp. He knows me well. And, I think he'll give you a good recommendation on me. So he called. We probably spent an hour talking about everything. Very interesting guy. And, I told him what they do. Multi-generational planning, full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to your problems. 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? He went, oh my God, if I could get that, it'd be unbelievable. I said, yep, that's what you'll get. That's what they give to every single client. I said, I wrote a book about how to do it. He said, oh, I got to read that book. I said, this is what you deserve as a client. This is what you're paying for. This is what you've been paying for and probably not getting. So, and he said, he was so excited to get the book and read it. I said, yeah. And he said, so you teach this? I said, yeah. He said, that's great. This is wonderful. I'm so glad I called. He was so excited. So anyway, that's what you, I mean, think about that, right? Cardiologist, 74, still working, big practice, well known in the community. I don't know. What's he worth? 20 million, maybe? 10.
Wow. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And his guy left or retired and he's looking for somebody. And he gave me names of other big producers in the community. And I said, they're all great. They're all good people, but they're not doing Supernova. And he said, wow. Okay. So there you go. So anytime. Happy to give you a testimonial. I don't know if the firm allows it. I don't care. But if you need it, I'll give it to you. Okay.
Fair enough. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Call. Yeah. The more you do this, you'll create stories out of it. And they'll tell stories about you, that you took the time to do this and that. You took the time to go and see my dad, and you took the time to go and take care of this and do this. Yep. They will tell stories about you, and that's what your legacy will be, not how much money you made and not how much money they made.
Right.
Be what you did for people to change their lives and make their lives better. And that's what we live for today. That's what our purpose is in life. Helping, giving, sharing, coaching, teaching, helping. That's the game. So do it, keep it, go forth and multiply.
All right. I will.
Good, Rick. Thanks, buddy. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, we won't. I'm away next week, so we won't talk next week. But I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, just send an email to Cindy and just tell her you're gone. Okay.
Yep, I did. So you got it.
All right. Terrific. All right. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.